Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Faith Radio. I'm Neil Stavem. Ted Ross at the controls. Chris is at the phones. We get together here each day to talk about ways that we can apply biblical principles to daily life. And if you're new to Faith Radio, I want to just say welcome. Glad to have you listening in. And Ted, we've got the welcome packet that we offer. It's something you can sign up for online at myfaithradio.com, and just kind of a simple way to connect with us, find out a little bit more about us.
It's free.
Free. That's
people
yeah,
like
sure,
free.
Sure, it's free, yes.
Check it out.
You get some resources. And, you know, if you're new to Faith Radio, you maybe have not heard some of the guests that we've had on regularly. And one of those is with us today. And I think this is a topic, of course, that really affects all of us because it's related to work. And, you know, some of us spend a fair amount of time at work. So I'm one of those guys who I put in a full 8 hours, even if it takes me a whole week to do it.
But that's good. Some people are miserable in their jobs, too.
Yeah, right?
I forget what the statistic is. But, we talk about the dream job today, right?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about, maybe 2015 is the year that you can actually find that place that you've been looking for. And so what would that look like? And we want to talk about the world of work and how it relates to our faith as well. And really glad to welcome back David Stark with us, who's president of Business Keys International. He's a business and church consultant and a trainer. He's authored several books, including Life Keys, Discover Who You Are. There's Life Directions, some small group material, People Together. And we've had him on a number of times. In fact, I've done some seminars for those that are underemployed or seeking employment, and we're happy to have David back with us. Good to see you again, Dave.
It's great to be here, Neil. Thanks.
And we also want to touch on part of our conversation today about a new book David's working on, and they're looking forward to seeing that when it comes out. But the world of work is always in flux, it seems like, and I just saw something in the paper today, talked about the upper Midwest rating high in places to live, and a lot of it had to do with employment. I think Minnesota was showing number one. North Dakota and South Dakota were fairly close as well. But but even if unemployment is at like 4 or 5%, that's still a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that we've heard the term underemployment. So maybe some thoughts at the beginning about the world of work.
Absolutely. First of all, at least it was an encouraging direction to hear the president last night that we want to try to deal with, inequality side of it. But the reality is that work today is not just going to sign up for a job and be there for a long time. It's not like that now. It's the statistic that's been written about is that the young people entering the workforce are going to have about 14 jobs before they're 38. You're going to be transitioning between careers as you go. And so consequently, the idea of work just being the job is not the situation today. You're going to have jobs. And one of the most recent ideas that I love is the idea that life is going to have a body of work. It's not just going to be one job, but you're working on a body of work over time in different circumstances. That's much closer, by the way, to what was going on in biblical times. In biblical times, the job didn't exist. It was jobs, and people did this job and then that job. Obviously, the farmers were in one place, but they really were doing various task-oriented project work. That's really close to what lots of people are being hired for today.
So is the idea of the body of work, does that have to be related? Because if you go back to sort of the 14 before 38,
yes.
I mean that those 14 completely divergent different things?
Yeah, let's talk about that. There are things in common. First of all, the most important thing is talents are being developed. And passions kick in at various moments in our career, but the people who are doing the real statistics on this, hopefully those jobs, the one thing they are going to give you is the development of talent and the development of skills. Because higher developed talent and skills with learning that goes with it is where you get capabilities. And capabilities is what people are hiring. And so as my work goes forward, that will be one of the consistent things. Consequently, my body of work may have expression in a lot of different jobs, but hopefully both talents and skills will be consistent and developing amongst those and growing. But secondly, the more talented I get, the more autonomy I get. And with that autonomy, I have the ability to say, well, where are my passions now? So I have these well-developed talents. May or may not be at first what I'm passionate about. But now, as I get better at it, I have much more flexibility to align with companies who have the same values I do, for example, or people that really are in the lane where I feel called. We can see this biblically big time, of course, is that there are many, many people in the scriptures. Daniel's one of them. Moses was one of them, etc., who went through periods where education and talent development was critical long before they got redeployed. Joseph was like this, into the actual calling, the long-term calling. I believe God uses both everything we do along the way, but also is preparing us for things that are coming later.
You know, it's interesting. If capability is what people are hiring, then it does seem like we maybe as if we're in the search part of that, or looking to change or move that we really need to spend some time. I guess really selling or understanding in our own mind what our capability is, right? I mean, we really have to.
Absolutely.
It's a lot more packaging maybe now than it used to be.
It is. And that's why one of the reasons I wrote Life Keys is because you've got to get clear about your talents and your spiritual gifts, both in my opinion. But if you're spending a majority of your day that connects with your talents, you're going to walk away maybe tired but energized. And if you don't, if you're just leaning on skills, you're going to go home drained. And so the other thing is with talents, if you develop them, you can become excellent. With non-talent, the best you're ever going to be is adequate. So one of my first and most important advice to entering the marketplace, I'd rather you make a little less money and be in a company that aligns with your talents because of all what that means long term than being offered a little more money, but your talents really aren't aligned with it. And so you're going to be exhausted. You're not really developing into excellence. So sometimes you just got to take what you can get. But hopefully, as the economy begins to grow now, there'll be more possibility of saying, well, let me at least get in places where talent matters.
So is it, not everything is always sort of black and white, though, isn't it?
Right.
Well, I can move over in this division,
yep,
or this company, and it would tell me some things, train me in some areas I don't know,
yes,
but it's not necessarily where I want to go. But once you get off that path, does that mean that you don't have a chance to get back on?
That's a great question. I really believe that God factors in all of that, Neil. So if I'm given an opportunity, maybe just to build certain skills that I don't have or certain experiences that puts me into different relationships, I think all of that's being factored in the future. Because the things you're going to take with you, you're going to take your experiences with you, you're going to take your education with you, but you're also going to take your relationships with you, which is absolutely critical in a networked world. So most job openings happen because I know somebody who knows somebody. And so the more relational currency I'm building, which you're building in any situation where you're working, the better. As long as I capture those things and continue to communicate with relationships. And so social media, which the young people are fantastic at, is actually much more powerful than just all the things that have to do with life. It also, many times through LinkedIn or things like it, has to do with these relational things are going to matter in your work.
So that, we would think probably our generation would say, well, it's loyalty, it's staying in one place. That's what really counts. And you're saying,
yep,
It's relationships and making sure that you're capturing those and building
Absolutely.
That network.
Here's the problem. Most companies cannot promise loyalty except to the main employees. The employees that are, central to their competitive advantage or whatever they're doing in the marketplace, they can promise a lot more loyalty to them, but nobody else can be promised loyalty. So consequently, I've got to be willing to realize that I will be changing at least jobs and probably careers at various points. And I have to learn to manage that way in terms of how I think about my life, how I think about my calling and my vocation.
Wow, getting some great insight today from David Stark. As always, love having him with us today. We're talking about the world of work and about the talent, skill development, about our capability, understanding our gifts, how we can maybe encourage one another in our search. What should that look like today? Also want to get into, tying into what's God's plan for our lives as well in terms of as it relates to work and using our gifts. You may have some questions about that. Maybe it's a search process that you're in right now, or you're hoping that this is a year you can make some transitions, or you maybe have a son or daughter who has recently graduated but looking for something that would provide gainful employment, or maybe you're dealing with underemployment, all those things. Love to have you join the conversation. You can call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Or if it's more convenient, you want to just drop us a note to send your question or comment in that way. You go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there, too, and love to have you join in the conversation today. So talk more with David Stark, president of Business Keys International, here in just a moment. That's what we're talking about.
Yes,
we're talking about the world of work and how that's changed. And, you know, words like work and jobs, they're not the same thing. And, how we need to be working at our talent and skill development and understanding our gifts and passions, all those things, getting some great insight. As always, from David Starks, back with us. He's president of Business Keys International. He's a business and church consultant and a trainer and author, and we're happy to have him on with us today. And our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you have a question as it relates to the world of work, one of the things, David, I was just kind of mentioning during the break that I actually finally got my LinkedIn account up and refreshed and could respond to all those people that have been waiting to link in with me. So
thousands and thousands.
Sorry, even though I don't actually probably understand it, but I'm just wondering if we can talk about what's different for the maybe the millennial versus someone who is at kind of retirement age, because that's those are pretty two significantly different tracks.
Yeah, they are. And let me start with the millennials. I'm very excited about this generation. Some of the things that they have going for them because of their history is that change is a constant for them. They know how to navigate complexity, and it's very important in our day and age to do that. I think secondly, what's important also is they're able to. Usually in those ages, they're able to move more rapidly. Now, the debt picture is part of that picture usually also, but at least they could change towns if they had to. They could change, sometimes they can change careers. It's a time of exploration, and I totally back that. In fact, even if you're in a certain job, the idea of being able to volunteer or connect to things that look interesting to you is, I think, a big part of what happens in those ages. Some people go right into the work they're going to do lifetime, but if you talk to people about what they majored in versus where they end up, it's very rarely necessarily in the same place that they were in before. So that's some of the positive things they have. They understand networking already, and networking is a critical part of so many businesses today. They know it better than the older people do. It's in their blood. And so those are good things for them. A lot of them, though, also have faced headwinds in being able to get an opening in a job they want. And hopefully those headwinds are dying down. What my biggest opening thing to say to them is look for work and not just a job. Work is what people many times hire for today. And the great thing is that when you have work, even if it's temporary, there's a lot of things happening. Number one, the employer gets to look at you. And therefore, you're much more front of mind to that employer if a job comes up. The second thing is you're now in relationship with people who know about jobs. And so work itself can many times lead to connections that had that go beyond jobs. So I would look for that. Also, you're building your talent. In other words, your time is being used. It's not just lost because you're actually working at something together. So there's a lot of advantage of just of looking for work and jobs, but especially not just taking work when you can.
Let's take a call before we come back and maybe talk a little bit about sort of the retirement or the older worker. Well, this is a call from Jessie, and she's listening in St. Paul. Jessie, you have a question for Dave Stark. Go ahead.
I do. Hello.
Hi.
I've been a stay-at-home mom for the last 8-plus years, and I'm thinking about transitioning back into the workforce in September. And I'm just wondering if you have some practical tips as sort of how to get back into the workforce for people who've been out for a long time and maybe have lost a lot of the connections. So how to get back in the workforce. And also, I'm unsure of the direction I want to go now. I have a different passion, a different love for my family that I didn't have before when I was working. So how do you kind of incorporate that into deciding the direction to go as well?
That's a great question, Jess. Yeah. It's Jesse. I want to say a few things. Number one, while you've been a stay-at-home mom, life has changed for you. And so the first thing I would do some work on, Life Keys is one book to do this with other things, is I want you to figure out, well, what are my values today? What are my passions today, right? Your personality type, if you know that, that's great. That doesn't change. It does develop. But also, I want you to go back to the core talents and gifts that you have, because those are the things that are going to be bridges into the workplaces. You might find as you add all that up that it's actually pointing towards a different vocation or a different job for you. I really want you to do some clarity around that to begin with, because when you go and interview places, it's important that you know a little bit about kind of who you are and what you want to do now. And I think many times God does shifting during those times. You've already had a full-time job, of course, a very important one at home. And now it's what's the full-time job going to be elsewhere? And the other thing that happens usually going into the marketplace is you may or may not hop into a full-time job. Now, you may need to. I understand that. But lots of moms coming out of the home begin by perhaps a little more education in some area, or they begin working part-time in something. They can even be testing things in the volunteer arena. So I find that the ramp-up for moms coming out of the stay-at-home process usually is iterative in the sense that, well, I'm going to do a little bit of this and that. And so you're slowly learning as your children and your young adults begin to be more and more, have more and more freedom, more and more autonomy, you're able to ramp up over time. I've watched lots of moms, some of them jump full-time right away, but lots of them jump in stair steps if possible. I understand the economics. But that allows them to dabble in things. And I've also seen lots of moms say, here's where my passion's going now. And they may add some experience or education to that to begin to go back into the marketplace. So I all of those things, I think, are parts of that. The other thing I would say to you is that the moms and all the people you're now connected to, they know people. So don't discount all the new relationships that have happened. In fact, the reality is that in LinkedIn, you know, which is a workplace thing, the people that you know well, that love you regardless of whether you're working, they don't have – a lot of the jobs are not there, but I'll tell you where the jobs are. They know people. And 85% of the jobs are in where the people they know. So I would be building up just the network of all the relationships you have.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, it's just maybe allow a little bit more time, that it might be a stair step,
yes.
And you can dabble in some things.
Yes.
So maybe a word for those that are thinking about entering back in, that now's the time to really do some serious evaluating and some – you need to be thinking forward a few years, don't you?
Yes, and part of the reason we need to do that is because the Holy Spirit works on us in ways that shift us. Many times our passions and values shift. And that's not just something that's happened to us. It's something that the Spirit has been behind. And so consequently, evaluating that again can be a really good opening play for people.
Say a word about, we'll take Eric's call in a minute, but say a word about maybe just those that are you know, maybe like Jesse or maybe a little older or something. They found that, well, I was downsized at 58 or something, but I've still got some good years left.
Absolutely. There's a few things I want to say. And the first thing is that experience matters in the marketplace still. You may not have all the skills that some of the younger people have relative, especially the technology revolution, but experience matters to employers. If they know somebody, and here's a bunch of things you have an advantage about. You probably are not in a season, if you're a woman, where you're going to get pregnant again. You're probably also in a place where more of your children are out of the nest, and so you have an economic situation that's a lot different than if you're paying for colleges, right? The downside of that is obviously that to get laid off at that age when you're right in the middle of the high productive years is hard. So I understand the economic parts of that. But don't underestimate those things. Don't underestimate the fact that years and years of working somewhere has built up both experience, education, and capabilities. Those capabilities matter in the marketplace. Because one of the things all the CEOs tell me is we have great jobs, but we have so many people that are not qualified for it. Well, you might be qualified for those jobs, and that's what they really want to hire for. So don't discount that.
Are they? Is there an issue of being overqualified?
Yes, there is. Hopefully, as the marketplace, if it continues to grow economically, that will be less true in terms of overqualification. Because right now, anyway, the predictions are that small, medium-sized businesses, where most of the jobs are planning on hiring this year, and much more so than in a lot of years.
Let's take Eric's call. He's listening in Bemidji, and we maybe won't have time to get through all the answer before the break. But, Eric, go ahead. You're on with Dave Stark.
Well, hi there. Yeah, I could talk about 20 minutes. Your producer allowed that wasn't the greatest idea.
Hi, Eric.
I'll cut to the chase here. I have been saddled with some mental and physical disabilities over the years. That could take 20 minutes in and of itself. But,
yes.
Including having enough of a touch of Asperger's that I've been fired from numerous jobs, to be honest. And
yes.
Now with my physical disabilities, I can't drive truck. And so what ended up happening with me is I decided, instead of feeling sorry for myself and what I can't do, now let's go back to what I can do.
Yes.
And so what I'm doing is I can only work one or two days a week at the very most. And so I've confined it to doing some weekend radio work. And also doing some custodial substitution jobs. And even that is kind of a stress on me, so I have to be careful. But what that leads me to is the idea that I believe we're kind of a post-industrial age in the United States. But for me, we were told back in the day that we should specialize. But I come more from the perspective of we should diversify just in case something does happen. In my case, that's been very effective. And I just kind of like to get your comments on that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
well,
it's
we'll
great
have,
question.
We'll have about first of all, 30 seconds probably.
First of all, I just want to cheer you on that you're focusing on what you do have and not what you don't have. That's really critical. But the second thing is, in our day and age, it's very helpful to have more than one place where you can get paid. And those things allow for the pace of change to actually not defeat us, but allow us to continue. If this doesn't happen, then I can go here.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about diversifying versus specializing here in a moment, and get some great insight from David Stark, president of Business Keys International. He's a business and church consultant and trainer and author of several books, including Life Keys, Discover Who You Are. And you can find out more on his website, businesskeys.com. And you can join us in the conversation as well at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484 if you want to just drop us a note. It's myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and we'll continue in a minute. A key question we need to be asking as we pursue the world of work. So what is it that God wants us to do? And God does have a plan for our life at work as well. And we're talking a little bit about that today, and we'll get into more of that in just a few minutes. I want to reintroduce my guest today, David Starks, back in the studio, president of Business Keys International. He's authored several books, co-author of Life Keys, Discover Who You Are, and Life Directions, and some small group material, People Together. And you can find out more about his good work on the website, businesskeys.com. He's a business and church consultant and a trainer and a good friend here of Faith Radio. And we're talking today about the world of work, and I don't know if David, if you want to say any more about Eric's question about sort of diversifying versus specializing, I mean, that's really, that's kind of changed now, isn't it?
It has, yeah. But the diversification still needs to be in areas where you're talented. So, in other words, you had a lot of different talents as we put them together, and they cluster in different areas. Some of them are you know, conventional. Some of them are enterprising. Some of them are investigative. These are the categories, social. And so you may have a set of talents or spiritual gifts that you're using in the major part of your work, but there may be artistic talent or some other talent that actually you could develop and could be part of a different expression of vocation. And so today, having at least a backup like that is really important, because you may be going back and forth between different areas, and that's can be critical in times when transition happens a lot. So it is actually different. I'm not talking about seven things. I'm talking about two or three things that you can do.
Which probably most of us have, right? If we actually had a good understanding of our talents and our passions and our values, those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I want to take a question. Colleen called in with a question. She said, my husband has been applying for thousands of jobs around the cities and is getting nothing. She says, how can I encourage him? And what are the next steps that we could take? When is it time to move on from applying for a career field?
First thing is, I really understand this pain, because many times applying today means online deals, you know, applications, and they don't even tell you that they've got it. So, I mean, it can be really a ghost town. It can be really frustrating. This may already be happening, but the first thing I would say to encourage him is that if he will work the relational side of this, he'll probably get more interviews. In other words, Colleen, you have relationships with lots of other people, and your relationships may know of places where he at least could have a chance to talk to some people. So I would be working that network or the people in her network, because once again, they may know of places. And so if he isn't working the relational side yet, I'd encourage this, obviously, in his own relationships. Of asking them about their relationships is really a critical process. So going through the networking part is really important, because you can really get lonely and discouraged if you're just going online and applying applications. It's like you don't have any step up in the stuff you're doing. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing about career areas, again, a career area, you may need to drill deeper to what are my capabilities and be willing to look at those capabilities in various career arenas. So, in other words, locking into one may not be the way forward. It may be, but underneath that, here are my capabilities that I've developed or want to develop, and what other fields are those in? So, for me, my personality type, for example, was not only in ministry and applying there, but it also was applicable in management consulting, and so were my talents. And so I do both now, a church side and business side, and different amounts at different times. But that wasn't because I just kept the career path of ministry, which I love, but I also said, well, what else does this do? And it also has guided me into that as a second place to where I work with my own talents. But that's true of a lot of people. Is that I sometimes have got to get out of career thinking, just one direction, and much more down into my capabilities.
Maybe just to follow up on that, is there a word of advice for someone who needs to be able to sell themselves outside of their kind of career track?
So absolutely.
Like, you know, I have capability here, but it's like I'm applying for something that I have no experience in.
Right. First of all, we're in a world time, like we talked about earlier, where people are going to have serial careers in their lives. not just serial jobs. So it's not uncommon, in other words, for a person to be applying outside of whatever their experience is. That's not going to be a deal buster in this day and age. Okay. Obviously, what you're going to have to make a case for, though, is here's how my talents, my values, my passions fit in a different career area. So that's going to take some work to talk about with that. But many times stuff. So let's take an example. Let's say that I've been in a management part of a field, all right, and I've developed a lot of persuasion and management process itself, taking action, managing time, setting priorities. There's a bunch of stuff, perseverance, that I may have done there. Well, those things can transfer to a different field because those things are needed in many fields as opposed to just whatever the career is that I'm in now. Obviously, you may have to add some education or experience to that, but along the way, those are transferable across fields as opposed to just being in one field.
And I know you've said before about if those are in the search process that you need to spend part of your day kind of renewing and not it's not just all about 8 hours a day out there filling out resumes.
It's not. In fact, that you really have to take care of yourself in the middle of this. That will make you depressed really fast. What's what I mean by that? I mean, you do need to have exercise or some kind of outlet physically. I recommend a support group in church if possible. People that love you, regardless of whether you've got a job, you need to be encouraged. You need to have a place where that happens, right? And you need to allow yourself to break away from the process some. And because one of the things that I've been had times where I've been in between myself, and one of the most encouraging things is I got to have at least an appointment with a friend or, a possible person to give me advice or whatever. You got to schedule those at least every day. More than 4 or 5 hours directly on the process is too much for most people. They've got to have a balance because you're going to have a life after this. You may not believe that now, but you're going to have a life after this. And those things are going to be critical to your future. Even people that are working have to have those kinds of things because they don't know when the job's going to go away.
Well, that maybe gives us an opportunity to kind of transition into the area where you've been spending a lot of time writing and just kind of in the editing process of your new book. But it kind of focuses on that the aspect of relationships and, how the church can really be the support group that we need. To talk a little about, kind of what you've been working on lately.
Absolutely. I have spent the year interviewing and talking to and reading a lot of what millennials are saying about the future, Gen X and millennials about the future. And I actually am very excited about what these generations are inputting. We're up against a steep hill, honestly. In other words, I'd like to use a skiing image, which means I don't think our lay leaders and pastors have gotten worse, but the cultural slope we're trying to minister to has gotten much harder. And so I have written this book both by interviewing successful churches nationally, methodologically in what they're doing, but I'm also trying to draw us back to how the apostles went about connecting with outsiders, because I think we're making large mistakes there. And so consequently, there's many, many, many churches that have stopped growing. Or if you ask them how many 40 and unders they have, it's not many. And I think we need to change our approach. That's why I called it essentials-based church, because I really believe that has to change significantly if we're going to connect with these generations, where there's a lot of common ground if we'll start to look for that.
Are we just becoming maybe less culturally aware in terms of maybe, pastoral leadership? I mean, are we getting too isolated to much of subculture?
Yes, we're definitely getting too isolated. In other words, the differences between the subculture of Christians and the culture at large is widening quickly. And that's why we're having lower and lower percentages of the generations joining us. And if I was to put in a sentence, what's critical, and I see this in the apostles, is we need to start to build bridges to the culture and not build walls. The average person outside of us, unfortunately, is carrying a backpack of negative things, judgmental, hypocritical. They call us the against people. And so consequently, I go back to the scriptures and look at the apostles. And the apostles had a lot of things they were doing. First of all, as Paul put it, we're becoming like the Romans to win the Romans. They're trying to build bridges. More than that, they're staying to the essential things of faith and not getting caught in disputable matters, not even getting caught in the law, but really seeing how central the gospel is. The gospel was so important, not only to the apostles, but to Jesus, that that was guidance to how they dealt with outsiders in all of their dialogues, all of the situations that they faced. Many churches are getting caught in the weeds of things that are not essential, and they're getting in the weeds of emphasizing the morality rather than connecting and building bridges to the stuff that we have in common.
I suppose some would say, well, those things that, you know, those really are essential.
I mean, right. And what I would say to them is I'm not trying to decide for somebody what's essential or not essential. But when you look at how the apostles and Jesus started with the outsiders, they always were talking about the good news. They were talking about the ways that Christianity and faith matter now and matter eternally, obviously. They were not emphasizing the things that we have different. I'm not trying to water it down. I'm just saying they were building bridges to these people. And there's many common ground places that we can build bridges today. And the churches that are being successful are focusing on that and not focusing on, here's why, Neil, and that is that until the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your heart, the love, acceptance, forgiveness of Christ have taken hold, a lot of these non-essential things don't make sense at all to you. You don't even know why they're being discussed because in our culture, they're already been decided for the most part. And so if we're actually trying to bring them to Christ, we need to build bridges to what we agree about.
I'm going to come back, talk a little bit more about that. And, you know, does God care about our work and our life experience there? We'll get to that and more with David Stark, who's president of Business Keys International. You can find out more on his website, businesskeys.com. We're talking about a new book he's in process of editing, and we'll be out here in a few months. Glad to have him on today with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 877-933-2484. We understand how God has designed us and gifted us, equipped us, given us the talents and the skills that we can develop, the more we can be effective in serving Him. And we're talking today with David Stark, who's president of Business Keys International. He's a business and church consultant and trainer and author, and we've been talking about a new book he's just been kind of completing, talking about essentials-based church, but we've been focusing on careers and things as well. I guess I want to talk about, David, is the marketplace a good place for us to, as believers, to start building some of those bridges? And so what does it look like to live out our faith at work?
Absolutely. I want to start out this question with a definition of evangelism that's an expanded one from what most people know. Simone Weil was a French mystic of last century, and she said that evangelism is the intersection of everything Christian with everything that isn't. And the reason I want to say that is because the command to love, which Jesus, John 13, says they're going to know we're Christians by our love. Love is possible every day for all of us. And so the beginning is just, it can be very simple. And that is that I begin to become aware that I got lots of people around me where I can simply make gestures of love in whatever form they come. And I don't have to go any farther than that to begin with. I'm just beginning to see them as people who are loved by God and people that I can love. So that's kind of step one. But some of the big bridges are these. In the younger populations, there's a service revolution happening right now, Neil. Let me tell you what that means. That means that the younger population, even at work, they want work to make a difference. Second of all, if they can have even projects to say, well, how about if we're going to do this special event, but we're going to give part of that money to World Hunger or part of that money to, you know, people that are dealing with trafficking, sex trafficking, whatever it is. And so this generations are hungry for that. Well, Jesus asks us to be a servant of all. And the more we can connect into their passion around service and join them in it in the workplace and in the churches, we're going to have a natural bridge there with them. Another one that's very powerful with the younger generations is that they're driving the sharing economy. The sharing economy is huge. Sometimes I look at the book of Acts where it says, you know, they had everything in common. They're sharing with each other. Well, this is what's happening online for these generations all the time. One good example is called the Table Project, which is now it was developed by YouthWorks here. It's now part of Gateway Church. But it's a free thing that churches can get. You're doing it on KTIS in a different way. But that is, you know what, let's buy lunch for the person behind us. Or we can share that. I don't have to own a lawnmower. Maybe I'm going to share it with somebody, or I'm going to do that. And so this huge sharing economy that's happening is exactly what Jesus was getting at in the book of Acts. They were sharing everything in common. So I can begin to enter into that where that's happening, Christian and non-Christian alike, because they're doing many of those kinds of things as we go forward. The other thing is just simply to the power of this is part of loving, but when somebody's going through something, you can easily say, would you mind if I pray for you? I'm a person who believes in prayer. You don't have to go any farther than that. I have opened so many conversations with people outside the faith by just be willing to care for them, just saying, I'll pray for that, and saying, you know, that may not be something that you do consistently, but that's one way that I care for people. I've seen conversations go forward big time just by that gesture. I'm not trying to get them to Christ in one move here. I'm simply trying to build those bridges with them and what they're doing. The power of love and care, I can't even tell you, that is so much what starts the journeys for people. It's not saying, well, I'm going to target them and see if I can get the four spiritual laws out there first time. No, this is a generation that needs to see us doing things. Words are cheap for these generations, but if they see us doing things, they're going, wait a minute, that is evangelism. That is the intersection of everything Christian with everything that is.
I think sometimes we're if we're in the middle of a good work situation, that we wonder, you know, does God really care about my work? And, you know, you talked a little bit earlier about, you know, this Holy Spirit works on sort of shifting us sometimes. So
yes.
Just say a word about maybe just trying to get a bigger theology around what God is doing in and through us through work.
You bet.
Or lack of it.
Yep. First of all, I love the Joseph story. And here's why I love the Joseph story. Because here's a man that had a dream when he was young, and then his dad's dysfunction, in modern language, almost got him killed, right? And he has the passion to share his dream with his brothers, which means I'm going to be better than you and lording it over you. That gets you killed. You know, and more than that, the employer's wife sabotaged him in Potiphar, right? His friends forgot about him in prison, and yet God still got the dream done. But let me go a little deeper than that. And that is every part of Joseph's life, when he was working for Potiphar, when he was running the prison, when he finally was lifted up, etc. Every piece of that had a purpose in the moment, but it was also leading to a larger destiny. Which means in some of our work, we don't know exactly, we can know a little bit about what it's doing now, but we also have no idea what it's going to mean 6 months from now or a year from now. And I see this in people's stories all the time, because they may not be right now in what they're passionate about. But what's happening right around them, relationships are being built, like we talked about earlier, the talents and skills are happening, values are going on, there's a lot of things happening in the workplaces you're already in. And the best way to move on is to do well where you are. And sometimes you have to shift gears. It's just not working. But most of the time, it's where you are.
You know, if I can just jump in on that, piggyback on that point there, David, I'm thinking about people that are at work and they're not fully using their passions. They're not fully using their talents. They're frustrated by that, but they need the health insurance or whatever. So they're
absolutely
there.
Yep.
And they're Christians and they think, well, I'll just bloom where I'm planted right now.
Yeah.
Should they just settle for that? What do you think?
Two things. One is definitely have them bloom where they're planted, because where you're excellent creates more autonomy. It also creates the possibility of different jobs. But the second part of this is where you're paid is not necessarily where your ministry is. Paul's such a great example of this, right? And so I would be exploring on a volunteer level, a part-time level, a just learn-about level, an educational level about what you're passionate about. Don't wait for for it to be dropped in your lap, because it probably won't be. So I would suggest part of your time is engaging with that. Because many times, especially in Middle Ages, the transfer of platforms is not one leap. The transfer of platforms involves experimenting and testing and doing stuff, and all of a sudden you're doing more of that and less of what you're doing now, and then you're able to make the larger jump to a different situation. So it's both, yeah, let's bloom where we're planted, but let's don't wait for that area to develop. I need to be engaged with it right now if I can.
Lois had a comment called in from St. Paul. She said, I've heard studies where men have been applying for jobs only being 40% qualified. Companies want to train people, so we should be encouraging people to apply even if they aren't fully qualified. What do you say about that?
Here's the truth for most jobs. Knowledge about the field is the easiest thing to teach. What you cannot teach is character. What you cannot teach is well-developed talent, like we've been talking about. What you can't teach is strong values. In other words, the stuff that you already have in other jobs, especially, in my opinion, for people that are following Christ and the values that go with that, those things are valuable, and the employer knows that I can teach the knowledge pretty quickly, but I can't put those things in place quickly. And so part of what I want to suggest is the employer is not just looking for on-target experience. Yes, in some jobs, that's a critical thing. But more importantly, it's like, well, we can develop that, but we can't develop these other things. And into every job interview you go into, realize that employer is looking for an outstanding employee, not necessarily the person that has the most knowledge right up front.
Which maybe is a good word for us as we, you know, we're still early on in 2015. Say, what are the things that we could do to really develop our character and shore up our values and those things? What would you say?
A few things is that more and more employers are looking at your Facebook page. They're looking at the things that are happening in your life. And so if you've got stuff that you're doing that is even around the field that they're about or experiences that are broadening you, that means a lot more today. They've got to have a reason to say yes, because they'll think of reasons to say no. But they're going to look for reasons to say yes. And so no longer is that just sort of side stuff. That stuff is part of the fabric of decision-making for a lot of employers.
Any encouragement for those that are maybe in the, you know, underemployed right now or just like one of our earlier callers, just, you know, lots of applications, not much response?
Probably the most thing I can say is God hasn't forgotten about you, because that's what it feels like. It feels like you've been put on the shelf. God doesn't, you know, he's managing the universe, but somehow he's not thought about me. And what I want to say to you is that God is with you in this. And remember that we have a God that gets us through the storms, not necessarily a God that protects us from them all. And in those times, sometimes the deepest sort of bedrock things that happen in our faith are when God begins step by step to take us to a new place. And so I want you to be around. First of all, I want you to listen to KTIS because of the encouragement that happens every day. But second of all, I want you to be around people who can help you stay at least motivated while you're going through this time. Because that's the whole point of the body of Christ, is that I may be in a good time when I can lift up somebody who's not. I've been in a men's group for a lot of years. We've gone through the whole thing. But at times, I've needed their help. At times, they've needed my help. So I would very much recommend that.
Which I guess is another reminder that if your church doesn't have a job transition group or in your community, see if you can get one started.
Right? Absolutely. And there's a lot around. Yeah. It's just a Google search away. And especially in the Twin Cities, there's fabulous ones going a lot of places.
David, always good to visit with you. We always enjoy the conversation.
Great to be here.
Looking forward to spending some time as we kind of unpack some of the thoughts in the new book as well. When that comes out, we'll have you back before then, I think. David Stark is president of Business Keys International. He is a church and business consultant and trainer and author of a number of books. I think the first one, going back, about 20 years now, was it?
Yes.
Life Keys, Discover Who You Are. Still got some great insight in that.
Yep.
And to help you uncover your talents, your spiritual gifts, your passions, your values, and your personality, all how God made you to be. I hope if you missed part of today's program, you can always catch the podcast online. Go to myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you'll see the podcast archives of this and other shows, and you can pass it on to a friend, or maybe it's a family member who's kind of in the search. You'll let them be encouraged with it. David, who I always enjoy the conversation. Thanks
it's
for coming
by. It's been great to be here, Neil.
David Stark, join us today. You can check him out on his website, businesskeys.com, businesskeys.com, or we'll also have a link on our website as well. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow for another installment of Connecting Faith. Tomorrow, we're going to spend some time talking in the anniversary day of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision. You're going to hear from a couple of business guys who decided that they could do something about the supporting life and set up Online for Life. It's an amazing story. You'll hear it tomorrow on Connecting Faith.